you always hear follow the money, right? So like that's what everybody says. You want to really know what's happening, always follow the money, right? What a lot of people, and what I didn't know as well, is when you go inside a health department, when you're going to nonprofits, when you're going to some of these clinics, some of these hospitals, everybody sees condoms there. But where is it actually? What they don't know is that these institutions and that the government is actually paying for them.
And 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to The Real Social Proof Podcast with Mr. Sleepers for Suckers himself, David Shands. Let's get it.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast, man, where we find dope people that do dope stuff. And this might be the most interesting conversation I've had all year. I was telling somebody that that I was going to be interviewing this guy. He's a black-owned condom company. And his ears perked up. He said, What? Tell me more. Like, oh, where's the website? All I said was black-owned condom company. So, when somebody told me, I was like, oh, that's dope. Gotta have one on the show. Jason Panda, that is a cool name, first off.
I appreciate
that name. It's dope. All right, so go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
All right, so my name's Jason Panda. Originally from Brockton, Massachusetts. I'm the owner and CEO of B Condoms, the only black-owned condom company in the United States. We've been around for about going on 10 years. So it'll be in March, it'll be about 10 years. I started the company in
10 years.
10 years grinding, man. More than 10,000 hours. You know, everybody says, you know, you got to put 10 years. Probably the first 6 or 7 were probably the most challenging. Most challenging times of my life, just personally. Like, I used to practice law before I went into condoms.
Really?
Yeah. So I did my undergraduate at Morehouse. Went to Georgetown for law school. Practiced law. And then decided to, you know, leave the comforts of, you know, big tier, top tier law firm to really go and kind of make change in the community. And I think with me, it was really kind of rooted in, I think, a few different aspects that I've always kind of just really been interested in. One, being able to move the culture forward and really kind of like having my impact on making the black community better or whatever. I think second is I've always wanted to work for myself, right? Like I was like the first black guy that my law firm had hired in almost 5 years. You know, a lot of people almost take pride in that, but for me, it just, that was never me, right? Like I was kind of never comfortable being the one token within a broader community. I always looked at, you know, how can I reach back in and be able to pull others up with me once I was able to gain the knowledge. And then I think lastly, was really kind of having a business that would allow me to not only be able to self-finance and self-fund, but build a lifestyle that would not only be good for me, you know, hopefully my future kids and just my family or whatever, and just, and mix travel and everything else in it. So it didn't even start off with condoms. My mother used to run a detox and transitional care facility. So like during the crack epidemic for like drug addicts, alcohol addicts, and it was the only run one in Massachusetts where I'm from that was run by a black person. So that's kind of how I kind of came up. And when I used to like work part-time, it was at the detox. It was at the transitional.
Which makes sense. Like, cause it's always like you may even have a subconscious sense of if someone's not in this space and they look like me, I've got to be the person.
Yeah. And also and that's where I like a lot of times to kind of compare like the Northern experience with the Southern, right? Like in the North, like my mother's detox was one of the few that was primarily black, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so like almost all of her employees was black. So I was always kind of comfortable within that space, right? And also comfortable knowing, even though we may not necessarily have that same access to resources, whether it be capital, whether it be like institutions and everything else, when you have the right teams, you can build competitors that can compete for the long run. And I think that mindset and the mindset to be able to say, you know, yeah, I can make $200,000 a year because that's what I made my last year. I can be comfortable. I can, you know, have a while. Like I'm not a flashy guy. I don't need watches, all of that stuff, but I can build something that can be able to outlast me.
Right.
And that's, and also something that can really have some impact.
For sure.
Because I think where I came from was a perspective of it, you know, within the culture we all know, right? You hear people talk about teenage pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Who they talking about, right?
Us.
Exactly. Like you'll hear people talking about HIV and AIDS, or you see all of these commercials. There's always dog whistles talking about us, right? So at some level, you know, with me, I always love to travel. I've probably traveled to about 60 countries.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. And
well traveled. Yeah, 60 countries. How many countries are there total? It's like 100
something,
right?
100 and something. Yeah. So I'm like 60 countries in. And I think what happened was I was like, you know, why is it that the condom is really the one protective barrier, whatever, to be able to protect our community, but we don't control it, right? And then when I went to dig even deeper, I realized that, you know, the U.S. condom market's over $1 billion and blacks make up, overrepresent. We make up nearly 40% of that are consumers of condoms in the U.S., right? So if you're looking, you're talking about almost $400 million a year without a one white dollar, right, that go from our community into the broader public without having any direct impact on what's happening in our streets. And I felt from just like a really gut reaction that that just wasn't right and that it needed to change. And then when you looked at the market, all people really knew was three companies. Trojan, which owns Magnum, right?
Latex.
Lifestyles.
Lifestyle.
Yep. And then Durex.
Yeah, Durex.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was like, everybody just rocked Magnum because it's like their default.
Right.
And I was like, but when have they ever had competition? Right? And then—
there's really no competition.
No competition.
Yeah.
So then I looked at it and I was like, they need competition. And if not me, who else? Like, why shouldn't we challenge them for dollars and for impact that's happening directly in our community?
So how many condoms have you sold? Like, so give me last year.
Last year, we probably sold about 35 million condoms.
35 million condoms in 2020.
Yes.
And how you probably, do that, bro?
And you'll never know our name. Because here goes what happens. The majority of my business is built on government. Right? So what I've you always hear follow the money. Right? So like that's what everybody says. You want to really know what's happening, always follow the money. Right? What a lot of people and what I didn't know as well is when you go inside a health department, when you're going to nonprofits, when you're going to some of these clinics, or some of these hospitals, everybody sees condoms there. But where is it actually? What they don't know is that these institutions and that the government is actually paying for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So let's say like an abortion clinic.
Exactly.
You get the contract. And I would imagine that you're, what, MBE certified? Yeah,
exactly.
I knew it. Golly. Okay, exactly. It's making sense.
I'm really big on government. Like me, I scream government like with a bullhorn, right? Because what happened is, and I'll tell you how I got onto government. It wasn't initially, right? Because initially, all we know is what we see. So when I had left law, like, I'll be real. My first year, I think we made like $42,000. And I worked 60 hours a week, killing myself.
Mm.
And that's not profit. That's just top line,
gross.
Killing yourself, right? But I knew I was onto something, right? And that's why, you know, throughout the years or whatever, but going back to why government was never sexy. Right. Like, you know, what happens is when you kind of branch out on your own, everybody's first question, where are you carried? Mm-hmm. Right. Where can I buy you? Yeah. And then for somebody that doesn't have a thriving business, like, yeah, my business is stable now. We got a big warehouse, Fulton Industrial. You know, I ship all of these condoms. I do a container or two a month. Like, I'm good right now. But earlier on, those type of questions can sometimes sear to your soul. Right.
Mm.
And even though like, cause you don't have anything to show, all you have to show is hard work and no one respects the hustle a lot of time. Yeah. They respect the winner. Right. So what ended up happening was I always used to turn down nonprofit. I used to turn down government. It's not sexy. It's not what people can see.
When you say turn down, give me an example.
Like you don't put your efforts into it. Right. So like, let's say you're looking at your business, right. And you have different types of clients, right. You may have a retail client. You may have a government client. You may have a nonprofit client. You may have like an adult store chain, right?
Are y'all a nonprofit?
No. I'm for profit.
Okay, for profit.
Yeah. So what would happen is I was putting all of my energy and efforts into being carried in store.
Because that's cool.
Because it's cool.
You can post that on the gram.
You can post it on the gram. People ask you like, yeah, you know, what they don't know is the marketing that it takes to be able to support your in-store sales. And earlier on, a lot of us don't have that money. I didn't have any access to capital. I used to, don't get me wrong, when I started my business, I had a few $100,000 saved, right? Because I always live well below my means. I just stacked everything. So I thought I was good. But that money ran out after 2.5 years.
Mm.
And then you end up having to do your job at night, right? And then work, pay your bills during the day.
So you saved a couple hundred thousand from your job.
working in law.
As a law. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So your first attempt is going into retail, right? Mm-hmm. Did you get into retail?
Yeah, well, like we were carried at one point in Whole Foods. Like now we're actually like, we're going to have some really big announcements this year, right? But that's because there's a time and a place for everything,
yeah.
Right? Like you don't know what you don't know, right? So earlier on, I was making mistakes, not because I wasn't working hard, not because it wasn't the right idea or it just wasn't the time, mm-hmm. right? And I think the more I became kind of at ease with that, the more comfortable with the process I became. And I met one guy, and even to this day, I forget his name, but he was the first dude that told me, he's like, yo, Jay, like, this is after the second year, right? Because I went from like 42 or whatever thousand, maybe like 58, right? Mm. You're talking 2 years in.
Right.
We ain't like everybody else, but I'm talking about a national business.
How did you make the 42? Is it hand-to-hand, peer-to-peer?
Hand-to-hand, combat. This is me in the streets, even now. Like, you know, like I don't know if you heard like Coalition DJs last week, mm-hmm. right? Big event. That was me out there. We were flying all the cars. We were putting up all of the posters. I'm still in the streets.
Mm.
I have to appreciate that level of the grind, at least now until people really know my name because they need to see that story.
Wow. Right?
And that's why, like, yeah, last year I did 35 million condoms, but yet and still, I'm still that guy that'll be out there that people need to be able to see. And not only because I've refined my pitch over 10 years, but I also need to be able to train the people that are going to begin working under me to a way that fits a process in an organization that I know is needed for us to be able to compete. I'm competing against billion-dollar companies.
For sure, 100%.
That have hundreds of SKUs and hundreds of products across multiple lines, right? Like, it's really the David and Goliath, yeah. right? But one thing I know is they can never be black. They can never know our experience, they can never care about our culture as much as I care, and that they will never outwork me or care about moving our culture forward as much as I do.
Yeah.
And I think the more people that see me, that are able to kind of like, and when people see me, they see what I'm doing and they see how I'm going about it. I ain't got all the answers. I'll be the first to tell you, like, you know, everybody like, yo, you know, Jay, you should be teaching courses and all of that. I'm like, yo, I'm not one of them that'll try to teach a business and never ran a business, yeah, right? 100%. I'm behind the scenes. I don't need to be seen.
Do you have partners?
Yeah.
Let me ask you the first question before you answer that. Have you gotten investors?
No.
No investors.
One SBA loan. I bought a house that I made money on and I leveraged that house to take a loan against it to give me the capital that I needed to be able to get to the next level.
Okay. Do you have any equity partners?
No.
All you. Do you have partners or employees or both?
Consultants, I guess you could call it. I got contractors.
Gotcha.
So we got about 9 contractors.
So you really got this joint on your back.
Yeah.
So you have contractors. Well, I come do a job and I pay you.
No, yeah. And I pay them. Like yeah. They're independent consultants.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked into it? Like, are you looking for partners or?
Like, here goes one of the things that, like, I don't
know. I'm asking for a very selfish reason.
Yeah.
I want
no. Like, no,
it is. I gotta do, man?
but here's the thing, right? Like I had business partners in the past, and I love them to death, right? But what happened is, and they like they've helped me get to this level, right? But that road to get here was as treacherous and as hard as anybody could ever imagine, right? And along that way, you know, we were able to, you know, part amicably and all of that, but.
Why did y'all part?
The business required full time. And when we run out of money, what are you going to do? I can't be mad at you because you can't pay your bills.
That's real.
You don't care about it any less. I can't get mad at you because we're both in a situation where you got to think, I'm 40 years old, right? I'm not married. I don't have kids. I purposely held that off. These are conscious decisions and conscious sacrifices that I had to make. I can respect my own hustle. I can respect my own sacrifice, but I can't put that on somebody else.
Yeah.
I can't get mad at somebody else because, you know, they can't make that same sacrifice. Like, this is my calling.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is something that I know in 5 years, 10 years, when I look back and I'm like, wow, I built something powerful that has the potential to really move us ahead domestically and internationally. This is my contribution.
I love it. All right, so we gotta go back to how you started. Mm-hmm. Like, you have this idea, mm-hmm. right?
You want to hear the real story?
The real story.
All right, the first business that I started was called Zippy Jobs, right? Mm-hmm. It was like a college like matching platform or whatever. But then what happened was the market collapsed.
College matching platform.
So like, imagine you want to make $50 over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Craigslist was just beginning to pop off. It was like for college students only. You'd be able to log in and say, you know, I want to find a job for like $50 for a weekend. So somebody could post it. You go mow their lawn, babysit their kid. Mm-hmm. That was it. Business failed, right? And it failed around when the recession first collapsed in 2009. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, I say, it sounds like a good idea.
Though. No, it's a like I've always had good ideas, but the timing has been bad, right? Like now it's just like perfect for what I'm doing now. So it's like I'm able to see that other side of the curve. Right. But what happened with that? I told myself I wanted a recession. Any business that I did after that would have to be recession proof. Mm-hmm. So when I first came up with condoms, I was miserable working in law, hated the law firm, you know, all of that type of stuff. And I came up with two ideas, caskets and condoms. Because if you look at the Black community, who are always the most wealthy people in the Black community was the funeral homeowners. Mm. Right. And I said, Why don't we have our own casket company if we already got insular distribution? Because people were always dying. Like, take the death part aside, right? I was like, that's a solid product that we ought to be able to own, right? Selling within our community in an all-Black environment to our own funeral homeowners, carve out that part of the community.
It's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been censored in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Keep it insular.
I like the way you think. I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a couple dollars, make some t-shirts. I'll go with the t-shirt. You think, you know, caskets. That's crazy. Okay.
But that's just how I've always, like, anytime I speak business, like, I'm like, yo, what's always the silent thing that's there, but it's always needed?
The right. Silent thing that's always there, but it's needed. I like that. Okay. I like that. Okay, so why didn't you go?
So it was either going to be caskets or condoms, right?
And then what made you think of condoms, though?
People are always having sex. Trojan, everybody knows Trojan. Everybody knew Magnum, same company. And I'm like, yo, they're a weak champ. You kind of know, like think about Rocky when he fought, like, Marvelous Marvin, what's his name? Busted. Mr. T, mm-hmm. right? Mr. T was hungry, right? He came, he swiped his ass up this first time around, right? And I was like, yo, what you have is you have a lazy champion that's never really had a threat. Mm. And I always trust, like, you know, what happens is, because it's funny, right? I got friends now I'm here in Atlanta, right? I got friends, and I don't know any entertainers. I don't know all of that part of the game, right? Because I never ran fast. I never could dunk. I never wanted to be a rapper, mm-hmm. right? But I knew I had this. So what I ended up doing over the years was just fine-tuning my mind because that was my only really way to compete, right? Mm. Like, so if you take all of these other things off the table, it's like, what's your secret sauce, right? Mm. Like, because kind of like X-Men, I believe we all have our own superpower, it's just really identifying what your own superpower is and then trying to align it with the best way to move your life forward.
But was there a moment like you're about to put on a condom, you're like, this ain't even black on. She ain't even black. Or like,
I'll tell you with me, it was, so you got caskets and you got condoms, right? And then I thought about it and it's the sexiness. Mm-hmm. Going back, like, you know, you're a little bit younger, you always want that sexy, right? Like, and that's where I think a lot of us get lost, right? We get lost in what we can see, right? Mm-hmm. So what's your first thing? Nightlife. I'll be in the clubs. I'll be banging chill, like all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's me. Like, ain't nothing bigger and badder than being able to pull out your own condom and know you're knocking something, like, you're getting it in, right? Like,
you're doing it. I appreciate it.
And it's leading back to you, right? Yeah. So that was really what, and then also it was the economics, right? Like, I move things by containers, right? So I was like, yo, I can either move 30 caskets in a 20-foot container or 60 caskets in a 40-foot, or I could move 2 million condoms in a 20-foot and 3.5 million condoms in a 40-foot.
No, but how did you come down to caskets and condoms? Were there other ideas?
No. I remember it came from Zippy Jobs. I wanted something recession-proof.
Right.
Right? Like, now it's Corona. We double our sales this year.
Why would Corona double sales for a condom?
Here goes why. It wasn't necessarily Corona. It was the push black in the middle of Corona.
Anything black won.
And since we didn't have in-store distribution, everything else went online.
So 2020 last year was a good year for you.
That's why you think I moved to Atlanta or I secured our big ass warehouse. You know, we
ran
it out.
Give me the edited version.
But yeah, but you know, that's why last year I moved the business from New York, moved it to Atlanta. I got our big warehouse. I began to round out a team. And now we're actually beginning now to move from a traditional government business into a more, you know, an in-store where hopefully, you know, 2021, hopefully you'll be able to see us in the bigger guys.
Mm-hmm.
The Walmarts, you know, the CVSs, the Publix of the world, the Krogers of the world, right? Okay. Because I've already had a business that's established. You know, we were already retail ready, right? Like, I got 10 years.
Then
also, I was finally at a point at which I could pay consultants for the part of the boards that I didn't know, right?
Like, okay, hold on, because I want to run up to that. Caskets, condoms. You decide condoms. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you do that first day? You decide we're doing condoms.
I first figure out how to get laid off from the firm so I can get a severance package.
Really?
How are you going to finance the start of your business if you're just living on your savings?
You don't think to yourself, I'm just going to take a portion of my money to invest in this.
You need to collect unemployment. How am I going to keep my bills on?
So in your mind, you think, okay, if I'm going to do this, I have to quit my job and I got to go in.
100%.
I love that mindset, brother.
And then my next thing is, I want to go to the source. So I buy a ticket. I go Thailand, China, Malaysia.
Hold on, you are a different breed. You have a good job. Did you not like the job?
I hated the job.
You hated the job. You said, okay, I got to figure out how to get a severance package. Did you figure out how to get a severance package?
Of course.
How'd you do it?
Rule number one. I prayed on it, number one, right? Okay. Then second, I took on the motto of, I don't care. So let's say you're at a firm. They tell you, oh yeah, you know, they want this brief back by Tuesday. You tell them you'll get it Monday of the following week. Then you have a stare down competition. You go, yeah, you'll get it Monday. You do that long enough, right? You become a liability.
You intentionally became a jerk at your job as an employee.
You need to become as toxic as possible so that it's more energy to keep you around than it is to let you go.
Yo, this is crazy. You had a diabolical scheme on how to get them to give you off of the job.
Six months, full salary, 1 year, full insurance, and then allowed to collect unemployment after.
And you're just thinking, okay, this is enough cushion.
On top of what I had saved.
Okay. So this happens. And you said, now I got to go to the source.
Okay. I go to Google. I said condom manufacturers globally. At this point, I was still picking between condoms and caskets. So I said condom and casket. I was going to visit both. Because with me, I don't ever believe.
You decided to get fired, you didn't have a
I was going to be one of them. And I was going to, but I know me, whatever I commit to, I'm in 1,000.
This is good. Okay. Okay, so you go to Google, find out condom manufacturers.
Condom manufacturers. I get my backpack packed. Next 2 months, I'm traveling between China, Thailand, and Malaysia. Solo.
Because that's where the manufacturers are. Mm-hmm. Nothing domestic?
No. Trojan has one in, like, in, they have, like, one smaller one, which they do for, like, smaller runs or whatever, mm-hmm. but most of everybody else is all happen overseas between Thailand and Malaysia.
And they wouldn't make your condoms for you?
No. Like, in... Number one, I don't like their product. Their product is a little bit different from mine.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Okay, what don't you like about the product?
I'll tell you.
For sure.
I don't like it. They smell, right? Number one, like, and anybody that's used a Trojan Magnum can tell you after the experience, why you think a girl's always like, let me smell your thing, all right? It's part of it. We kind of take it for, but it shouldn't be that way, right? Number two, they haven't been as consistent in terms of non-breakage as I would like them to be, right? Hmm. Like, you know, if people say anything about mine, they're like, yo, they don't break. Like, my thing is top-notch. Like, mine, they're odorless, tasteless, vegan, right? Organic, all natural.
Vegan?
Yeah. No parabens, no casein. Like, none of the stuff that kind of, like, I invest more heavily in part of it, going back to kind of, like, me traveling, right? I was able to see where Durex makes their condoms. I was able to see where Lifestyles makes their condoms. Not only where they make them, but what their internal numbers look like. So like all condoms, like your head are like triple tested, right? Mm-hmm. Triple tested means like air pressure test means they'll go and connect it to like almost like a pump. They'll fill it up with air and see at what pressure the level it'll burst, right? Another one is called like a water leak test. They'll fill it up with water, same type of way. What level does it burst? And then the last one is kind of like an electronic pinhole test. So what they do is they almost have like a scanner that spins, right? And they scan the condom to see, you know, if there are any small holes that are undetectable to the eye, right? I wanted to ask
you. This one condom goes through this 3 iterations.
Mm-hmm, before you actually use it.
Gotcha.
And I watched, but I needed to understand. So I can walk you from the rubber tree, right? Like you ever see sap, like syrup or whatever? Yes, you ever see a syrup tree? It's the same exact way rubber happens. They stick kind of like a straw, right, inside the tree, and all natural rubber comes out of it. It goes into like a little small little bowl, right? They collect those little bowls, and then they put it inside a much bigger bowl. And that's when you kind of mix all of the ingredients in with it, right? Mm. Like, but when I go in, like, that's why I don't do a lot of stuff, because when I dive in, I go in for mastery, right? Like, because in order to really be able to compete, you have to know where somebody else is weak. Right. And then you also have to have a timeline on when you can pull, you know, certain strengths against their weaknesses, or you're just going to kind of be flapping along the way.
Mm. So you go to these factories, you just mm-hmm. walk in like, hey.
No. I call, like, act as if, right? Mm-hmm. So I call them. I'm talking like I'm a boss. They don't know this is like, Jason, I ain't got no condoms. I ain't got no money. Like, not really.
Do you remember what your pitch was 10 years ago?
Yeah. No. Basically, my pitch has always been the same. My name's Jason Panda. I run a big condom manufacturing company in the United States. I'm looking for new sourcing. I'd like to set up a meeting. So you show up. They got signs and all of that ready. They're sending their drivers. They're taking you out to lunch, all of that. And they don't know at the end of it, you just ask for samples.
I love it, yo. I love this interview. My gosh. Okay. So you just play this big wig and you're like, yo, I really just need those samples.
No. Even before then, right? Like, because we're talking before I ordered, right? Like, so of course, because, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, I got to fly back, you know, because this is an important decision. You know, some of my business partners weren't able to make it, but I want to go back and have meetings and we'll convene or whatever, you know, talk your talk, right? Yeah.
But do they walk you through the factory?
Yeah. No, that's how I learned all of this.
Yeah.
Right? So the first factory, yeah, you're looking green, right? But I went to 16, 17 factories.
Was it in this one stint of time?
Yeah.
In Malaysia?
Thailand.
And
China.
In China. And you went to 16, 17 factories.
Yeah.
Also about it, like that fifth factor.
You know the game.
That. Oh, I know that. Come on, with the tree, I know how y'all do with the little sap and all that.
Exactly. You're learning as you go. Because here goes what no one can tell me this. There's no blue book for this. There's no like encyclopedia to show you. And part of my thing I always tell, because people will come up to me, they'll be like, yo, you know, Jason, I want like business advice or this and that. And I'm like, yo, if you really want to know it, the only way to do it is through practice. Right? Like, don't trust anybody because no one's going to know the intricacies as well as you need to know it. Right? Like, I forget more information than most people are going to learn. That's why, like, recently they were like, oh, yeah, you know, I heard another black condom company launch. I'm like, I don't worry about it. My path is going to be my path. And trust, if they're willing to go through what I went through to get it to where I'm going to get it to, respect. But trust, I already know the mistakes that they're going to make before they make them. I had 10 years of them. And now I'm at a point where like, and say what you want. One of my biggest expenses right now is a consultant that retired from one of the bigger three. Right? Because what happens, sometimes you just got to pay for the game.
Yeah,
You got to pay for the game. And I was finally able to get my business to a level at which I could afford that type of real knowledge. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, because what happens, you're either going to continue spinning your wheels or you're going to be like, we're ready now.
Yeah,
and I can't make the same rookie mistakes I made year one and two. Right. So if you, and at this point, you already know where your gaps are. So you went on LinkedIn the same type of way. Like there's a level of hustle, like it's desperation, I like to call it a lot of times, right?
For
like,
sure.
You know, you go on LinkedIn, you figure it out, you find somebody, right? And you're like, yo, this is what I need. What will it cost? And we've had meetings this year with the CVS's of the world, with the Walmarts of the world. Actually have him in on the meetings, prepping for the meetings, helping on the post on the post discussion.
He knows how to talk that talk.
He knows.
He understands
he,
it.
He gets it.
Yeah, he understands
and,
the language.
And though he may not be able to, you know, you're talking about a, 65-year-old white dude or whatever, right? Retired, like living his life, right? And he respects the hustle. People, like, some things cross cultures, right? Like, if you see somebody who's genuinely a good dude, who's genuinely trying, who's paid his dues, and you see him really trying out, people can respect that, right? Like, yeah, we call it, he's watching his Fox News, he's all that. That doesn't matter, right? Like, because there's a certain strain of individual and a person that just, people can connect with people and people can be like, yo, I respect your hustle, I respect your hard work, I respect the sacrifice. I'll see what I can do. Gotcha. And especially if you're going to pay somebody on top of that.
Oh, for sure.
And that's kind of, And I think I'm fortunate because, you know, for everything I have been able to do, you know, I don't forget how hard this road was. And I kind of always remind myself of that and kind of stay grounded or whatever. Because like, yeah, could I go out here and try to flag all that? But it doesn't help.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Like, and it's not really why I'm doing it.
Yeah. So you learn this like triple testing and all that kind of stuff through this process. Mm-hmm. And so out of these 16 or 17 factories, there's like the big three, right? But these big manufacturers, do they only make condoms or they make a whole lot of other stuff?
They make like rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Like gotcha. They'll make like hand sanitizer. But like you look at Trojan, they also have like the, they have their pregnancy tests, Armand Hammer. Like you're talking about, it's not Trojan, it's Church & Dwight, right? Like
Church & Dwight.
So gotcha. Church & Dwight as a consumer product company, right, has all of these different brands that fall. And Trojan's just one of them.
Gotcha. Right? And do they use some of the manufacturers that you went to go see? Or they have
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I was going and visiting and seeing what everybody else's back end was.
Gotcha. Oh, so you, like, see their packaging laying around. Like, oh.
No, you can buy their packaging, but I wanted to see what their manufacturing
process is. No, but I'm saying, like, you see, like, you can recognize, oh, this is Trojan.
Oh,
this is
what they're making. Oh, 100%. Like, and that's why, like for example, they had this issue a couple of years ago, right? Where like one of the biggest suppliers, a company called Corex, they're the largest condom manufacturer in the world, right? Out of Thailand and Malaysia, they got facilities in both. They got caught for it, and I stopped dealing with. I initially went to go source with them, and earlier on I did, but then what I found out was they were slowing my production timelines and quickening up one of my competitors because they had already planned on purchasing my competitor.
So they were going to manufacture your competitor's product.
No, they were, right? And I didn't know.
So they were manufacturing, but their goal was to manufacture it, then buy that company.
Exactly. And it's all money at the end of the day, right? Yeah. I was a smaller account, right? So they were making my condoms. They were making my competitor's condoms, right?
Are they like a small independent company as well?
You ever see one condoms? They're the little circular ones or whatever. They're really kind of a flat brand. They never really did anything. Mm-hmm. But at that point, they were bigger than me. Now they ain't, right? But what happened at that point is they had a little bit more burn. They were in the game a little bit longer, right? They target like the LGBT but white community.
Gotcha.
Right? Like the gay white community.
Gotcha.
And then they also do kind of like their own packaging or whatever. But long story short, they were supplying mine and theirs. They used to tell me to get my product, it was going to take 90 days, 120, right? You can't have a business because, you know, on bringing it over on a ship, that's an additional 30 days.
Yeah.
So
how did you know that they were manufacturing your competitor?
You can go to their packaging and you can see where it says made in whatever. And then you can cold call. You can figure it out.
But I'm saying if it says made in Malaysia, there's a bunch of factories in Malaysia.
There's only a few. Like there are a few players, right? Like even eventually I'll probably even purchase our own, right? That way I just own that whole side of it.
You could purchase a manufacturer over there.
You can purchase anything. Why can't you?
How much do you think it costs to purchase a manufacturer?
I would probably about 1.5 to 2.5.
Staffed.
Yeah, yeah. Because what you would do is why go and rebuild that whole system and have that whole process, right? Like right now, my biggest value are my contracts, right? Because I got contracts with governments that go through 2027. Nobody can get in.
Good.
Right? Like, why you think I could do retail and relax, do the interviews, all of that? But like, that's my biggest value. I got booked business all the way out for another 7 or 8 years, right?
Mm.
So the same way, some of these manufacturers already had a certifications, but they just don't got the brands to be able to push the level of turn that they need for their dipping lines.
Gotcha.
Right? So what you would do is you'd purchase an underperforming one that they already had the systems built and everything else. Say, no, like no different than you're going to purchase like a corner store, new management.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now, you know, you've already got all of the systems and everything in place and boom, now it's yours.
That makes sense. Okay. So you're going through, you're learning the test, the triple testing, and then you find a manufacturer that you can build a home with. Mm-hmm. Are you still with that initial manufacturer?
No.
No. Okay. So we'll get to why not.
Yeah.
But you find that first home. What happens?
Make a rookie mistake. I think at the time that like for some reason that kind of like that, like we end up going with like purplish packaging back then. It hits flat.
Really?
Flat. Oh, people hate it. Like, cause you know, and it's dudes or whatever. Not only that, I didn't realize that the foil size, the condoms were A grade, right? So my think was always just make sure the condoms, right? Condom don't break, all of that good stuff. But I tried to cut costs on the foil size. So it came through and the foils were just really, really small. Right.
So like packaged in
like,
there.
Like, let's say, for example, like.
Oh, I got one.
Got some. So imagine it's half the size.
All right. Look, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I got to tell you, finally, you asked for it and we created a Patreon. Okay. We created an inner circle. We have amazing stories, amazing information, how to's from the episodes. The only thing we're missing is a community. So it's about that time. We put together our Patreon. We put together our community because we have to have conversation around the information. So let's throw some stuff back and forth. And because we're like-minded, we're all going in the same direction. When we connect in a community, we can connect on other stuff outside the community because we're building real relationships. Okay. So check out the Patreon. We got 3 tiers. I don't care what tier you join. The support is appreciated. Okay. Thank you so much. Now back to the episode. So it wasn't like you were doing that for a reason. It's
no,
just
cut
cheap.
Costs. Let it cut costs because it's less foil. So instead of paying, you know, X cents for per condom, you're going to pay about a third of that.
So you were just being cheap.
Yeah.
I've seen some condoms where it's like the thin little.
Yeah.
It's like
they're doing that for cost reasons.
Gotcha. Like the joints used the gas stations when you're on a trip.
And you just need a quick hit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never bought one of those, by the way. I just saw them, okay? God. Okay, but this is about the size of a Magnum, right?
So yeah, so that this is, and if you want, you can pull out one of the other ones that are the actual—
This one, the blue ones?
No, the platinum packaging. No. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Platinum.
There's only one in here?
No, that's a three pack. So there's three inside of there.
There's a three pack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that, like, if you put three of these together, then you'll come up with that.
Oh, got you. Yeah. How much is this?
So, retail, I guess. Yeah, it's regular retail. So some gas stations may charge like $5 for it. Tokyo Valentino or some of like the adult stores may charge like $7.
Do you sell them online?
Yeah. No, we sell like a 10-piece pack for like $10 and like and then it's just shipping or whatever on top.
So, okay, about $1 each.
Yeah, how much are these? Those are just Lucy's. So, Lucy's, those are like what we would sell to the government. So we're not selling like some of the area, like the gas stations or whatever, we'll sell them Lucy's, and this is our classic. This is our standard size condom.
Okay, so classic like, and then platinum is like the larger.
That's the large, yeah.
For our people.
Yeah, for our people.
Solid. Yeah. Okay, so this was purple. Mm-hmm. This packaging was purple.
And it was about the foils, which is this right here, was about half the size.
And it was smaller.
And people liked it. But you know, I didn't know condoms. I didn't know business. I just knew product and I didn't know packaging. I came out of law, right?
I guess so. The small packaging makes it seem cheaper. Like, oh, it's
cheap.
And
it makes it seem small.
And who wants to use a cheap condom? Because there's risk.
It ain't worth the risk. Yeah. Right. So like that's why, like now. I'm like a vetted machine, right? Like I know everything. I've made all of the mistakes. And that's our lube.
And you got some lube in here, premium personal lube. Uh-huh. So you're competing with KY.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
why is this better than KY?
Oh.
Or is it?
It is. It definitely is. So number one, our lube is water-based. It's also natural. And it's pH friendly, as is our condoms. So one of the things and this is the other part about it. Like when I designed and when I worked with our suppliers on our products. Right. Some of the things I cared about was how is it really going to impact women's bodies?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because even in like with me, I'm trying to cut down on like my meat intake. Right. So there's a whole movement amongst just black.
All right. Let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
People in general to be more healthy, mm-hmm. right? Like, so vegan restaurants are doing it. Right. You got the slutty vegans and all of them in the world, right?
I'm sorry, because my brain goes all over the place. You said this was vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Why does a condom need to be vegan?
Couple of reasons, right? Now, number one, what vegan means is...
And remember what you were just saying, because I hate to take you off track, but it just popped in my mind. And I just remembered it from like 20 minutes ago. I'm sorry.
So remember when I told you like they will take like the rubber that comes out of the tree, mm-hmm. right? And then you'll mix it with different ingredients, yes. right? One of the ingredients that actually is... less expensive is like an animal byproduct, right? And so what happens is that animal byproduct, right, casein or whatever sometimes it's called, is used during the manufacture of some condoms because it lowers costs, mm-hmm. right? But a lot of people that sometimes have like skin reactions and it'll be like, you know, I'm latex insensitive or whatever, you know, I'm sensitive to latex and all mm-hmm. that also is what a lot of times causes that reaction, right? Mm. So for us, I decided to spend more to swap out that casein-based process for a more premium product that they then mix to make the condoms at the end of the day.
Is it a lot more expensive?
Yeah. My margins are a lot smaller, right?
Like, is it when you say more expensive, is it like
30%.
30%
more expensive. 30% more expensive.
Dang, and plus
and that's a cost that I eat, right?
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, here goes my perspective, right? And a lot of times, like, you know, people will talk about like the Jackie Robinsons in baseball. I got a zero margin of error business, not only because of condoms.
You black.
Because I'm black on top of that, mm-hmm. right? So like,
one pop condom, bro. Oh my God. Yo, Magnum can pop a million times on you one time. They're like, yo, I knew it. Black folk are like, come on, y'all. Yo, Bob, let me look at the camera. We got to do better as a people, okay? Just a little grace. But these are amazing condoms, though.
Yeah. No, they're the best thing you will get on this market.
Mm.
And I know it because I can name you every other condom manufacturer. I can name you every other brand. I know how they're getting and I know what they're doing. And I know how mine are different.
Gotcha.
And that's why, like, I stand on my product.
Yeah.
And will I make as much money per unit? No. But that's not my goal. The same type of way a lot of people be like, why don't you market mass market, white folk, all of that? I'm like, yo, let me put it like this. If I get 10% of the black market, I got a $40 million a year company.
And say it one more time.
10% of just the African-American condom market in the U.S. will give me a $40 million a year company.
Mm.
Now, let's say, and we don't move in 10%.
10% of the black market.
A black, not one white dollar. Mm. This is the gold mine. But it can also, think about how many jobs you can provide. Think about how many teenagers you can go and educate. Think about how many school sessions or how much things around human trafficking and all of these other issues you can go and impact. Why? Because we're the money. We're the one financing it. Mm-hmm. We're the one brokering them deals. We're the one actually putting money back into the streets where they deserve, in our communities. Right. Wow. So that's why a lot of times, and you got to think, like, look at, you know, if you look at how we move as a people, right? Like, we don't move 5 and 10% is before we catch, right? You'll see us, we'll be like turtling the hair, you know, moving our way along, and then we'll catch it, and then we'll be like, yo, we rock with it. And then all of a sudden, 90%.
For sure.
Like, yep. And that's what I'm expecting to also happen with my business, right? Like, I need to do all of this legwork. I need to continue to put in all of that muscle. Right, continue to really master my craft, because by the time my people jump on board, I got to be ready for this back end.
Gotcha.
And this back end is not like, there's not going to be a lot of growth there. Like, it may be 2 or 3 years you look up, and then we'll have one of the biggest companies in the black community.
I love it. All right, so you get these smaller purple condoms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How many did you order?
My apartment at that time was my warehouse, mm-hmm. so I ordered like 10 cases. Right? But let me tell you what happened.
How big are cases?
Let's say B to U, maybe here to here, about this high. Gotcha. So let's say like maybe that wide.
Gotcha.
So not that many, right? But another thing that I didn't understand earlier on, remember, I was just focused on having a good condom. Mm. They used the wrong glue.
Glue?
So the glue, the like the boxes, you know how regular condom packs are in boxes?
Yeah.
The boxes were opening.
Oh. What an indication of quality of condom, right?
Quality assurance. Not, God. So we couldn't, the condoms.
I mean, the quality is great, but I'm saying condoms, like from a.
But from a presentation and from a, you can't sell them.
So yo, this choice is open already.
Making mistakes, rookie mistakes.
How much did you spend on your first?
$15,000
on your first
washed. Because you couldn't sell them.
Mm.
Imagine, now you're sitting at home, right? You're sitting at home. The manufacturer ain't gonna give you no more money. They're gonna be, all right, I may help you out on your next order. You ain't gonna wanna order from them again, even if their condoms are good.
Did you order from them again?
Never. You gotta learn your lesson. You only learn once with some of these things.
How was the product though?
The product was good.
Okay.
The product was good. Like, see, my thing is, I was always able to identify because I knew the internal systems. Mm-hmm. So I always had good product, but there was always the presentation and making sure that the packaging and all of that was proper.
Yo, I'm sorry. I don't know why it just came to my head. When you first get them, do you like call your friends over and be like, yo, I need to test this out real quick. Pull up.
Of course. What do? You call your dirtiest dudes, yo, right? Like everybody got them dudes.
That so you like had some friends in your phone like, hey, big head. Like I got these kind
of. Oh, no. Of course.
You mean to tell me you never used that trick, bro? You never used that? You've used that, bro. Oh, you've used that. It'll be my version of like, just be like, get around like the ladies when I drop my hoodie or whatever. No, I'm no, like, no, I need a photo shoot. Come on. But I, and you're.
But no, no, no. But let me tell you what happens. All right. And here goes real story, right? Like, don't forget black folk. We conservative, man. Mm-hmm. So like you want a date, like, and the company ain't big at this point. Right. Mm-hmm. So they ask you like, you know, what do you do? Right. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I sell condos. And you're like, condos? Like, and you're like, yo, the high rises.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right? But then what happens is, right, and then when she realizes it, right, like, here goes what most women do. Then they sit back, they're like, oh, my God. Like, and I used to date a lot of, like, now I'm more into, like, I love me an artsy girl. Like, I'm all about it, right? Mm. Back then, I had more like corporate women, right? Yeah. And therefore, oh my God, how do I like introduce, tell my parents about like what you do and this and that? Like, because their mind automatically goes like, yo, Pornhub.
Right.
Like, X videos, right? Like, and I got this dirty dude trying to become Mr. Marcus number two, right? Like, and all respect to Mr. Marcus. He's my boy. He showed me around California when I was out there.
Is you know? Really?
Yeah, not real talk. All of, we're in the black community, mm-hmm. right? And we all have influence,
yeah.
right? And we all need a seat at the table. Like, I'm fortunate in that as this company grows, I can really serve as an intermediary between entertainment, community, and public health.
Yo, do you know my man? His name is, might be Michael something. He's a dancer. Mm-mm. He's like, I'm a fan. He's my guy, but he's like a dancer, like a male dancer.
Okay.
I don't even know how I'd begin to. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Like, find him, like Michael something. Yeah. Okay. Go.
So earlier on, like that, like now, like you know, people can look and there's actually like a brand behind it, right? Like there's like press behind it and all of that, right? But like earlier on. I was like that dirty dog, that dirty dude, right? People couldn't see the vision. Like, kind of like, you know, people that flip houses, right? Mm. Some people can walk inside the hood and be able to see bones and be like, yo, that guy shine. A lot of people don't have that ability.
Yeah.
So it's only after the fact that they can kind of go and see it. But yeah, but it, on the flip side, like.
You've never used that line though? Like, I got to test this out? Like.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't be a man if I didn't though, right? Like. Because I can't lie. Like, yeah, this is my corporate face. You know, I'm all like... But yeah, there's also like a level of ego in it, right? Like, I test
did
my
they
own...
Ever, like, did they go
religiously,
with it? Like,
religiously, I use my own product. Right? Like, and yeah, there is a good... I know how good the product is. And that's why every time I put it on, I'm like, you know, I'm in a damn good business.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so you get $15,000 worth of condoms mm-hmm. and you're having a hard time selling them. What do you do with them?
I then call a repack party, right? Because the boxes are breaking, so I can't sell them into the stores. People don't want them. Going back, nonprofits were the only people to be like, Jason, I like you. Mm-hmm. I'll buy your condoms and I'll give them out for free.
Oh, nice.
But they buy in 1,000 cases, right? So what did I do? I called like...
And you had how many cases?
No, I had three packs, right. Three-piece packs. But they'll buy in like a box with 1,000 loose condoms.
Oh, gotcha.
So I then had to call in like 5 or 6 friends, buy some pizzas and be like, yo, I need you all to be able to help me break down all of these three packs and put them in these boxes so I can then sell them to nonprofits.
Ooh, smart.
So yeah, so that's what we did.
So you got your bread back. So
no,
you didn't, it wasn't
No. Nonprofits may pay $80 for 1,000.
Oh, so you took an L, but...
I took an L and I learned, right? And then I switched manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And then the packaging came back and it was good, right? Everything was good, but then they started slowing my supply chain.
Mm.
Right? So one of the things that happens, and I think, and I'm sure it's not specific to condoms, right? It's just business. It's money at the end of the day. People generally put their time and their energy, whatever pays the bills.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So if you're a smaller brand, you may care passionately about it. You may want to really kind of like get everybody to see what you can have the potential to do and all of that. They looking at the bottom line.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'll give you an example. Even last year, right? Two years ago, I switched some of my bulk. Like, you know, I sell bulk condoms or whatever, you know, cases of 1,000 to government, right? I go to meet my manufacturer. They tell me all of a sudden, we're going to increase all your prices 25%. Mm. Now, you know, I'm doing volume now, right? 25% is too big of a hit because I'm beating the big guys on cost. We got a much more lean operation.
And it's a smaller margin.
And it's a smaller margin. But what happens is I'm like, all right, you want to play that game? Flew to Malaysia. One of my other guys who was fighting to get my business. Man, that cut down my margins. I ended up making more money with them than I did and had the same quality product.
Nice.
But what happens is you realize how much business is skewed for the bigger guys. Yeah. Right? Like, and I get it. And everybody may not be able to want, and people can want to support it, but everybody still has their own interests.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this is obviously like year one. By year two, by the end of year one, you have a good product, right?
Yeah, no, product was always good.
I mean, product and packaging.
Let me tell you, and that way we don't get too much into the weeds, right? Mm. My business made a shift year six to year seven.
From six to seven?
Yeah. I was almost out of business year six.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't making no money. And I was over-leveraged because what happens is when you're not selling products quickly, the money that you're bringing in from selling has to get spread over a longer period of time. Mm. So what happens as a result, it's a cash flow, right? And when I buy product, I got to put 30% down, 70% on shipping, right? But because let's say you're bringing in money, but it's getting stretched month over month, you're still having bills to pay. I pay, you know, $20,000 a year in insurance, whether you're small or you're big. I pay
$20,000 a year in insurance.
Each one of them have to be insured in case I ever get sued.
Every condom has to be insured.
Product liability insurance. People going to sue. People up. Everybody ain't you and I.
Mm.
They don't care if you're a small guy. Yeah.
Wow.
I pay almost $6,000 a year to the FDA. All of my containers that I bring in, sometimes FDA says, stop this. Let me go and check it. Slows my production cycle down 30 days. Right? And that's after manufacturing and shipping 30 days on a boat and everything else. So what happened was year six, I was almost out of business. And then what happened, maybe year five, year six, I think it was. Like, you know, now—
Let me ask you though, in these 6 years, did you do anything else to make money?
No. Outside of like, I started doing what was called contract legal, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the worst job. and anybody that's practiced law, knows that like, what are they?
Like document
review.
Yeah.
Document. It's called document review, right? One. It's like the factory line for lawyers, right? Mm. What they do is they got certain documents. You ever hear about like law firms and going to court? You have all of these documents to review. There are some documents that you just got to be able that require a lawyer to be able to read them, right? So they pay you very very little amount. You sit in front of a like a laptop, like a computer. They put you in the basement. You don't even get with the regular lawyers, right? Now you're talking about somebody partnership track, always, you know, fly. Now I'm in the basement, right? Because I just got a hope. But you get a two week contract, 5 day contract. But you're just trying to keep the lights on at this point. Pride, ego, and all of that. Because sometimes you go into the same law firms with your contemporaries that you knew are working at. Right, you talk about pride, and I'm still a black man.
Pride,
I'm still,
bro.
Yo, pride, man. It takes a beating, yo.
I feel you.
So, like, meanwhile, they're looking at you like, yo, what you doing in here? And then you're pressing to go down, and they're pressing to go up, right? Yeah. And everybody become you on everybody's little whisper mill. Yeah, it's real, yo. Like, people don't want to understand like the things you got to go through, right? But I got to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And no one's going to feed into my vision and my dream as much as me.
I love it. So what was that shift in?
So what happened was six and seven, I realized, I was like, you know, I can't afford retail. We got gotten into Whole Foods, didn't have the money to really upkeep the marketing. So lost that position, right? Nonprofit, you know, I really wasn't doing a bulk supply. I hadn't really competed heavily for contracts and we just really ran out of money, right? And at that point, one of my business partners, I told him, because he was really big on marketing, but marketing's good when you've got money to support it. If you ain't got no money to market, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And we had ran out of all of our savings. So either we're going to be at a position where we're either going to have to shut the business down. And at that point, we still had $70,000, $80,000 in debt.
From
having to loan out money to buy product. Because by the time we came time for our second round of product.
But did they give you, and those manufacturers, they're not doing no net. Overseas.
No, not only that. We just didn't have the capital.
Yeah. Where'd you get money from? Like, where you was over leveraged?
Huh? Friends and family. 10K here, 15K here.
80? So you're
over, over 6 years, yeah. If you loaning 15K a year to your friend, different people in your network, you tap out at a certain amount.
I don't have a friend I'm going to loan 15,000 to. I don't think.
Yeah, but now I'll tell you, like the other day, my orders now, I just put in almost $200,000 in product orders. Mm. Right? They're just, and I turn this month over month, right? Like, yeah. But because of cash flow, some of my government clients may not pay me for 6 months.
Right.
So the money is here. The money, you're going to get paid. But like, yo, I still got bills and overhead that I still need to be able to float in the meantime.
Were you doing government back then?
No.
Okay.
That was the change.
Yes.
So what happened is I realized earlier on, I was like, yo, I'm either going to have to change completely the business and take two steps back. And I knew government was going to be the way. It was going to be the only way I was going to have a foundation. Right. So I made my decision that I was going to be government, everything else, no marketing, no shift my manufacturing to cut down my costs so I can compete and beat some of these people on pricing. At that point, I had one of them U-Haul like storage facilities that I was using for storage. I found out about a 3PL, third party logistics, where I paid people to literally like warehouse, pick, pack, and ship my product. So I just changed it around because it was just going to be me. One person.
Right.
And I had to figure out like, yo, Jay, you're either going to have to swallow your pride, go back to corporate, or you're going to have to figure out how can you do it for you until you get to the next level. So that's what I did. And then the first contract that I won, state of Illinois.
So did you file the joint yourself, the MBE certification?
Mm-hmm. All of this, but I was a lawyer before.
Right. Hey, y'all, I ain't going to lie, man. They sent me this Eufy lock. Think about being on a couch, someone rings the doorbell, your child left their key at school, and they need you to get off the couch to open the door. Well, you don't have to do it anymore with this Eufy lock. You can open, unlock, see who's at the door all on your phone. It's super easy to install. You can set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It's keyless entry. So it's no more fumbling for your keys when your hands are full coming from the grocery store. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Listen, you put your fingerprint on there. Even if you got your bags, you put one finger out there, boop, you get to unlock your door that way. No battery anxiety. You don't have to worry about the battery dying. Quick charging. It's incredible. Also, passcode unlocking and remote control with a 2K clear sight camera so you can see who's at the front door. You're in control anywhere from the app. Enhanced night vision. It's absolutely incredible. No monthly fee either. So unlike other brands that charge a monthly fee, you have recordings locally, and you don't have to pay for the storage. Customer support is on 10. Listen, Eufy is on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by our professional customer service team. Listen, you can contact them anytime, telephone, email, or live chat. Okay, listen, you need this Eufy lock. You need to look it up. All you have to do is go to the official website, eufy.com. I just ordered mine, okay? I love this product. It is incredible. It's a game changer. It makes life so much easier, right? So if you have a video doorbell already or any smart lock, it's time to replace it. It's time to replace it. So listen, search Eufy, E-U-F-Y, video lock. Search Eufy Video Lock. That's E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Okay? You can get a complete control of your front door, your life, back door. Incredible. Okay? So search Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock.
So I can do all of this like, none of that ever intimidated me. Like, I don't like it. Do I like doing that type of stuff? No, but can I do it? Yeah.
It intimidates me. I've been supposed to do it for like 4 years now.
And yeah, it's I get it, right? But like some of the stuff you just have to put your head down and just be like, I just gotta do it. Right. And that's what I did. So like the first contract that I won was state of Illinois for almost $1 million. Right?
Really?
Over 5 years. Right, over four or 5 years, it was about 1.1 or something like
Right. So over $1.1 million.
So basically $300,000 a year, $250 a year.
And how many condoms do you got to give them?
I don't know. Like I just know it came down to $250, right? So at this
point, it came down to $250
each year. So the contract overall, like the total contract, with let's say $1 million, but it was spread over like 4 years.
Gotcha.
Right. So what that then allowed me to do is,
but I'm saying there's a specific number of delivering.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but what happened is at that point, I was like, I got a baseline, right? Like, at this point, I'm just fighting to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
Like, who cares what I had before? None of that matters when you're out here and you're like really just trying to survive. You're in survival mode.
Yeah.
Right? But once I got that, that then began to open up other doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the other states begin to come on. And I'm still paying zero in marketing. Right? Because government didn't require any marketing.
Yeah.
And that's how I was really able to build that foundation. And then what happened was, even with me, you know, God rest his soul, my dad, right? Like, when I first got the Illinois contract, I didn't have any more people to lend out to, right? And I needed to be able to buy product.
You didn't have any more people to lend out to. What do you mean?
I needed money to buy product to be able to fulfill the contract.
To fulfill it. Because they don't, it's not like you get the $1 million contract and they write you a check.
Yeah. They're like, yo, I get paid after they get the product.
Right.
Right?
Months.
Months after, sometimes.
Yeah.
So what happened was, you know, when I said like, God rest his soul, my dad, you know, he had a state job, right? You know, my mom used to run a detox. My dad had a regular state job. None of us really made a lot of money or anything like that. But I went. My dad was the only one that I know, if he went into his retirement, he could save me, right? And I went up, and me and him didn't have a real financial relationship at all. Like, he lent me $5 once when I was like third grade. And from there on in, we were like, yeah, you do you, I do me. Pride, too much pride and ego in the house, right? But I went to him and I was like, you know, I was like, Dad, like, I was like, you see what I've been doing. And I was like, I really need you here. I was like, you know, and then he was like, what do you need? And I told him, I was like, $40,000. He's like, done. He's like, if I can't do this for you, he's like, who can I do it for? He's like, I see you. I respect you. I trust you. I love you. He's like, and I got you.
Oh, man.
And my mom, like, and you're talking about a dude, I never lent $5 from him 20 years ago and we remembered it, right? But he was really the only one that could help me be able to get to that level. My mom was shocked, right? Like, she almost passed out because, you know, I went upstairs where my dad used to be to talk to him to kind of let him know kind of the real. So we came down together and he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to the bank. And my mom's looking like he really undid that?
Right. Wow.
But yeah, and he did it and I paid him back. And that's what, without that, you know, because what a lot of people don't talk about is Black businesses, we don't have access to the resources. And I'm fortunate because I went to law. So some of my roommates gone to Wall Street, so I could be able to lend a little bit more here or there. And I always pay people back. Like, I'm not one of them. I don't like owing folk. And they know, yo, Jay's good, right? Like, he going to get you, right? So, yeah, that's what happened. And then I was able to pay my dad back, but that gave me the money to be able to buy that first tranche of product to then at least get me into the system.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so you don't have to do a lot of the social media stuff and all that because you got the government contracts. However,
now that's
the direction.
Boom. So now, you know, I'm going into year, like March will be 10 years for me, right? Like, it started March 15th, 2011.
Congratulations, right? Bro.
And I appreciate it. And this year, you know, was the first year that, number one, I went and got my own facility. So that's why I got my big warehouse and everything on Fulton Industrial here in Atlanta.
Right.
Then, you know, I went and partnered up with Two Official Promotions. So there's this guy, Two Official. He was like one of the early guys at QC.
Okay.
At Quality Control Music or whatever. Right. So he's been able to kind of like lead a lot of like kind of like my marketing and a lot of like my street teams and all of that. Mm-hmm. And really help us kind of bring that kind of like nightlife and entertainment element that the business just never had before.
And that's a partner in the sense of a contractor.
Yeah.
So you just pay him that relationship. Yeah. But you haven't found, okay.
If so, you and, find, and in the past, I bought out like my previous partner.
Oh, you bought him out?
Yeah.
Oh, because I guess, was he with you in the very beginning?
Yeah. No. Like, you talking about Two Official or the other guys?
The other guys.
Yeah, they were. But the business, like, you got to think. There was nothing. The business was me at some point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and in all respect, right, what happens is you get to a level at which you realize, like, the goal that we may all have had, it's not realistic. unless somebody has to do the ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. Right? And my thing has always been like, and they know me. Anybody that knows me knows how my soul, they know how I rock. And I'm like, yo, if I'm able to get, but as I began to, I needed SBA loans.
Yeah.
They didn't want, that you can't sign the loans and be an owner.
Right.
Right? Like, they didn't, no one's going to put the equity up except me, the home's up except me. And that's what's necessary to be able to take this business forward. Like, I ain't got VC money. I ain't got all of this other stuff, right? So I'm like, let me be free. And you already know me. When I get there, I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know me. And they're my biggest supporters even to this day. They're still all, like, we still got a good relationship. They called it like, yo, G, I seen you did this. Have you thought about this? Because they, like, we all were in the ground, all in the battle together.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, like, some people, like, and that's where I say I'm really fortunate. Like, some people that have, like, ugly divorces and all of that. Whereas, like, of course, there were failings and everything else because, like, you know, you're talking about grown men that really laid their life down for something, right?
Yeah, and you were friends previously.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still friends, but,
you
have a relationship. And then this business thing comes into the relationship. It's different.
But we also realize that, like, you know, for this to be able to get to the next level, I was going to have to walk the part of this road alone.
Yeah.
And but they also knew that when I, because it's not an if, it's when I do get it to this level, I'll take care of them. They're going to be good. They're already good in their own lives.
Right,
they got
right.
Both of them making great money, got their good lives, they got married, got their good families, all of that. Like, I'm still sacrificing. Like, last week, I'm still doing flyers on cars, putting up posters, right? I'll be at the Super Bowl doing the same thing. Right? Like, I'm still in the streets. I'm still sacrificing because even though I'm close, I'm in, like, you know, like that area where you can feel it. You can sense
for
it.
For sure.
But you know that the work isn't done. The work is just starting. Yeah. But you can see it. Like, I'm in the game right now. Right?
Right.
Before I wasn't in the game. Now I'm in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for me to be able to get to the next level of the game, I need to also up and be also break down some of my own barriers that I had. Right? Because what happens is, and this is one of the things I talk to my mom about sometimes, when you have so many years of struggle, it's hard to kind of break down them barriers that begin to build after 100%. year of struggle to begin to really believe that some things are possible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, one of the brands that we just did a collab with, right, is called Two Line S, right? Two Loans. I'm not sure if you've ever
seen
Two Loans.
Two Loans.
Yeah, you'll see them or whatever. They're a brand that started out in Alabama or whatever, right? Mm. They were in the warehouse right beside mine, right? So we both moved here. Like, they were already here in Atlanta, but, like, the warehouse where they were was, like, literally right across from me,
right?
And that was my first time because in New York, everybody's really corporate.
Right.
Like, you don't get a lot of that. The entrepreneurship community isn't as big. But I was able to come by them and kind of see how they grew it. And now they're doing $100,000 a day in sales. And their brand is booming.
T-shirt brand?
Huh?
A clothing brand?
Yeah. What's here in Atlanta, Two Loans.
Two Loans.
Two Line. And we just did a co-branded thing with them. They're one of the biggest brands out of Alabama.
How do I spell it?
T-U-L-O-N-E-S.
$100,000 a day?
They're booming.
I see a bunch of them. They got a bunch of them.
And they just moved into a massive warehouse, right? Like, and, you know, being able to kind of be, like, in the warehouse beside them and see them moving all of their product. Like, and that's what I tell them. I'm like, yo, y'all are an inspiration to dudes like us, you know, who are now trying to get to that next level and who are working to get there because you see what that bump does when your business and everything starts really turning over.
And they're here in Atlanta?
Yeah, they're right, Fulton Industrial, right
that's
over by
crazy.
Us.
I've never seen them. And golly, $100,000 a day. Shouts out to Two Loans. Goodness gracious.
Two Line S.
Good.
And we just did a collab with them, like Fashion Meets Safety, right?
Dope.
Like, and that's the type of thing where, like, Atlanta's a special place, right? And I've always believed in that, and I know it down to my soul, right? Like, there's a level of support here in Atlanta that you just don't, as a black, and I'll just say it as a black man, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think our experience is really different than, like, I think black women, a lot of times they'll be able to get into the door. Whereas like with us, it's sometimes just a lot more challenging.
For sure.
But there's a bigger support system here than any other place in the country.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
And that's why I came back.
Man, this is like, this is awesome. You're literally the first condom brand owner that I've ever met. Yo, is it tough in relationships though? Like them knowing you're in this particular industry?
No. Here goes what it is. For me, you know, I don't ever have to worry about condoms being found at the crib and where they come from.
Meanwhile, bro, this whole time I'm thinking, how am I going to take this to the crib? Because my fear is that I'll forget. So it'll just, it would be in my book bag and all that. And then she's like, bro, that I got to explain. We did an interview with a guy. What guy? What are we talking about? So,
but I would say like the relationship part was more challenging for me personally before now because I wasn't stable, right? Yeah. Like I always tell anybody, when your money is funny, ain't no other part of your life stable. Yeah.
That's big facts.
And when my money was funny, right? Like I just had to do me. You know, of course, like we're dudes, we need our shot off here. Yeah, we gotta do what we gotta do, right? Like
you gotta do your testing. Every shipment.
Yeah. But now that like, you know, like my I'm secure. I'm stable, right? Like I wasn't stable all up until this year. Right. And now that I'm stable is probably the first time, you know, like I'm opened because I want kids. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I'd like to have a son. I like to have a little daughter or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now is probably the first time that I can kind of like date with that in mind. Mm-hmm. Right. Realizing that, yeah, I now know I can balance where the business at and the growth with where I need to be, you know, personally or relationship wise for this point in my life, because I've already made those sacrifices earlier on. Sure. I feel like I'm kind of catching up. Like what I preferred, like I look back, I'm like, yo, Jay, you know, damn, at 27, you may have been able to do it. It may have been rough. But like I never wanted to be in a position where I was going to have to sacrifice my dream for the betterment of, because I always want, my dad was super involved with me, right? Yeah. Like, and that's the way I always saw like fatherhood, mm-hmm. right? And I know that if I did have a kid earlier on, I wouldn't have been able to commit to that level. And still, I know I was going to have to sacrifice one or the other. Yeah. And that's why I made that sacrifice. But now, you know, day in the day, it's Corona or whatever, right? So there's only so much you can do. But like, yeah.
Are you still open to like dating? You don't got like a special somebody right now.
Nah, not right now. Yeah, So no,
slide
I'm definitely.
In this DM, you want to be a tester.
Yeah, you a fool.
Oh
man.
My God. Look, man, I want to say thank you, man. Congrats on all the success and congrats on the success you will soon be experiencing, okay? And I do have one more question and I need you to kind of gather something deep and meaningful to leave us off with, but I'm going to do a quick commercial real quick, okay? Then I'll All right, so this episode is sponsored, as always, by The Morning Meetup, themorningmeetup.com. Themorningmeetup.com is the only community that entrepreneurs gather every single day. Did you know we have like hundreds of entrepreneurs that gather every single day from across the country to learn and grow as entrepreneurs? It's a community.
I never knew.
I teach this stuff every single day. And like we have... we have a theme for the month, and you know, this month's theme, we're reading a book together. We just finished The Richest Man in Babylon together.
That was a great book.
And there was a bunch of people on the call that they haven't read a full book cover to cover ever, and they haven't picked up a book like that since high school. Like these are grown-ups.
I believe it.
It's amazing. So every month we have a book of the month, and then we have a theme. So this month is the millionaire mindset. So we brought on a bunch of millionaires, and I'm just interviewing them, digging into their brain to find out how they think. And they think of money and success and prosperity differently than people that maybe not millionaires, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or people that's not on that path. So actually you can go to themorningmeetup.com and just be a part of our community. And I'm going to do something very special for you. You can join for only $1, just $1. For 7 days to soak up the information. If you don't like what we have in 7 days, you can leave. No contracts, no obligations. We're not twisting your arm. You're not going to get an email like, hold on, please stay. You can leave if you don't want to be a part. However, if you want to stay, it's $79 a month. And again, no contracts. You get to be on every single day, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every single day, Monday through Friday. And yes, I'm on the call every day. Ask me any question you want. Okay. So themorningmeetup.com, themorningmeetup.com, themorningmeetup.com. Enroll. Okay. So Jason, man, thank you.
Nah, thank you.
I got a question because I like to make predictions on the podcast. And I want to know where you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years so that I can look at this video, this interview, and say, wow, Jason said he was going to do this 5 years ago. I got the video.
Yeah.
So what's the vision?
I'll have the biggest condom company in the United States. I would have dethroned Trojan as the number one condom company in the United States.
Dethroned Trojan. Yeah. It's big words, Jason.
I know I can do it.
Here's the crazy thing.
Like,
the way you look at me, I believe you
100%. Yeah. I'm sure of it. Let me tell you what we know as a community. We set culture. 40% of base is black people. 20%, Barack Obama gets 20% of white votes. That's pretty consistent amongst politics. It's pretty consistent amongst what our crossover appeal is. 20 plus 40 is 60. That's minimum. We'll be number one. Numbers don't lie.
I love it. I can't. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm literally sitting down with a billionaire right now. This is really, really cool.
No, like numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
And we already know how we move.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing, which is my singular focus, is to get people to shift from Magnum, which everybody realizes is just like it's a decent product, but that's all they ever known, to Platinum. Mm-hmm. And once I'm sure I can get the community to see the benefits of us working with ourselves, us buying a better product, us promoting a better product, everything else take care of itself. You always have a Nike and an Adidas, but in condoms, there's only Nike. And we're going to take them out.
I love it. I love it. And I believe you. Look, man, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
No. Thank you for the opportunity, man. Oh, like,
absolutely.
This is huge.
Absolutely, man. This is just, it's been enlightening. And you telling the story really helps me realize what I need to do, because I want to get my own chip. I want to build my own chip manufacturer. I want to build my own chip company. So I do a series called Dorito Dave. And Dorito ain't trying to sponsor me. So I'm like, yo, I need to just build my own chips. And you helped me realize today that the reason I don't have it and it's just an idea is because I'm not willing to just fly out to the manufacturers. I need to go to the manufacturers, walk around the manufacturing office and find out what's happening. So,
like, what do you think the Rapsnax dudes did before they launched Rapsnax? It's the same thing. They don't own their own manufacturing.
Yeah.
It's I think the biggest challenge, like, and I'll tell you, I between you and I did like diamond and gold mining of 4-4 a little bit or whatever as well at some one point in West Africa and Sierra Leone, right? And this is a whole nother conversation, right? But I was talking to, when I was in Miami a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, one of the guys I met, a friend of my friend. And he was telling me how they, you know, they deal in diamonds and all of that. And he was showing like the Jewish Hasidic communities in Miami and how they control it. And I was like, you know, why are you going through them? Why don't you just go directly to the source? Right. And I think the more we begin to break down the need to have middlemen built into what our business models are, the better we'll be able to control our own supply chain as well as make more money at the end of the day.
Explain that. What do you mean?
Why go through somebody else when you can get it direct, get it yourself?
But you're saying the need for us to be the middleman between the
or the need for us to cut out middlemen.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Like why pay somebody 10, 15, 20% just to process paper to order the same order that you could put in directly.
Yeah.
Cut them out. Go there yourself. Chances are they're going to be the same type of people you're going to be working with anyway. Their interests are the same anyway. Mm. Go there. And what one of the things you'll be surprised about is if you meet enough of them, you'll actually find one that'll be able to open the door to teach you the game that'll then be able to start you down that path.
100%. 100%. Man. Please let the people know how to find you, where to get their condoms from.
All right. So definitely support. You can find us at B Condoms on Instagram. So just the letter B, condoms with an S. You can also follow us on our website is bcondomswithans.com. My name is Jason Pander. I'm the CEO. You know, thank you all for the support. Definitely, you know, tap in. You know, any way you want to work with us, anybody that makes sense for us to work with, just come holler at us. You know, we're working hard and we're trying to make the change that we want to be.
I love it. I love it, man. And just close this out, man, with a word of wisdom, man. We have a very strong group of entrepreneurs that follow the podcast and they have this idea, this dream. What can you leave them with?
The biggest thing that I can leave them with is trust the process and don't make your timeline the timeline that it may take for your business. Your timeline may not necessarily align with what your business timeline is, but if you're moving more towards where you want to be and less towards where you don't want to be, everything will eventually align into one and you'll be okay.
There it is. We can't close it out no stronger than that. Listen, do me a favor, man. Go get you some social proof, okay? Go build something. And learn how you built it through building it, and then go teach somebody how you built it, okay? That is the only way our community grows, by going having people who are the builders and are teaching other people how to build what they built, okay? So we are out of here, man. Jason, thank you so much, man. Make sure y'all tap in with my boy. We out of here.
I appreciate it.
David Chance presents to you the Morning Meetup. Do you have an idea you need to get off the ground? Are you a small business owner looking to earn supplemental income or replace your current income? Come and join the most amazing mentorship and accountability group for entrepreneurs, live with David Chance himself. That's right. This is not pre-recorded and it's not a replay. This is live every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. In addition to the live calls, you'll also receive a weekly individual Q&A call, a private Facebook community, access to all call replays, and access to David's list of resources and contacts. You need to be in an environment of success. So head over to themorningmeetup.com today for your $1 7-day trial. That's right, just $1 for 7 days of access to the Morning Meetup. Take massive action towards manifesting your dreams today. Themorningmeetup.com.